Hear that? Up there in that tree? Oh, yeah.
Tweet, tweet.
It's me and all my homies love native manu, and it's about to start.
Yes, it is. Nō mai, hoki mai. Welcome back to me and all my homies love native manu. This week, Itiwi, we are talking about the silver eye, the tauhou. And here to talk with me, as always, about our native manu is the Birdman 3000. It's Pete Tonder. Welcome back to the studio, Pete.
Morena, Liv. Awesome to be here, as always.
Rory said to me this morning, he's like, I can't wait to listen to the bird segment. Seeing the Birdman is the highlight of my week.
That's good.
Awesome, eh? So this week, it's fun though, we're talking about the tauhou, silver eye. Pete, can you tell us about the classification of this manu?
Yeah, it's a native manu. It's not threatened. It's a passerine bird. Passerines cover like over half the bird species around the globe.
Mm.
They're basically perching birds that have a foot structure with three toes forward and one facing backwards.
Okay.
So it covers more than half the bird species.
Yep. Pretty standard.
Yep. So, I'd come across passerine a lot, and I thought, why are these all passerine birds? But that's why.
That's why.
So the subspecies of the Australian silver eye.
Yeah.
And I call them subspecies because there's a bunch of subspecies in Australia and also around the Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
First seen in Aotearoa about 1832.
Okay.
But they became more established in the 50s. They think a bigger flock flew over.
Yeah. All the homies were like, right, some of our whānau's gone to Aotearoa.
Exactly, we're going. We're not missing out. And then they spread quite rapidly around the Motu.
Awesome. The population is pretty good.
In recent decades, it just got into a bit of a slow decline, but that seems to have stabilised and it seems to be on the increase now. And yay for that rare trend.
That's freaking awesome. Yeah, we love to see that because that doesn't happen that much.
Yes.
And I feel like that is happens with a kind of a few. I mean, I'm thinking about the waro, the welcome swallow, that has quite a stable population as well. And it's like some of these native birds do quite well when they're like our urban environments as well.
Well, there's lots of species.
Yeah.
And there's lots of waro species.
Yeah.
And so they're very adaptable manu.
They find
a niche and they find a way to thrive.
I love that.
Yeah.
Māori relationship to the tauhou. Tauhou, it means stranger or new arrival. And tau can mean like lover or intimate friend. Mm. And hou can mean new as well. So just kind of breaking that down. Do you want to talk about some more of the significance, Pete? Because you're the bloody holder of the knowledge here.
I research. I find it out. But they were used for food by Māori. And around that time where they arrived and started expanding, a number of the smaller native manu were on decline because of, introduced pests and collecting and hunting and that sort of stuff.
Yep.
So the tauhou became quite plentiful. Mm. So they were caught, roughly plucked. They weren't cleaned. They were just cooked and eaten whole, bones and all.
Wow.
Or stored in fat
for
later eating.
Well, I guess there's such a small manu, right? You're like, you really want to get the most out of that.
Well,
you think about
their diet. They're eating nectar and they're eating berries.
Ooh.
And they're eating
fruit.
And there's a little bit of protein in there as well. It's good.
You tasty freaking meal, oi.
Yeah, it's like it'd be like an early version of having a muesli bar or something. Just I'll have a little snack.
Oh my god.
It's about that bite size thing.
Oh god,
that's what I reckon.
I love the things that come out of your brain. It's awesome. And we couldn't find any whakatauki specific to the tauhou, but a generic one that I've saw on the doc website is te kina ngā manu, ka ora te ngā here, ka ora te ngā here, ka ora ngā manu. And what does that speak to, Pete?
It says look after the birds and the forest flourishes.
Yep.
If the forest flourishes, the birds flourish.
Yeah.
And that sort of talks about the interconnectedness of our ecosystems.
Absolutely.
And we've talked previously about that symbiotic relationship between forest health and manu health. And then just generally, like Doc says, like they're not targeting work for the tauhou because it's quite plentiful, but they work the work they do for vulnerable species in terms of predator control and that, it helps all the species like the tauhou to flourish.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a systems type view.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. But yes, it is a significant bird around the world, 100 species of silver eyes around the globe. But this one is quite special, just at the rate at which it's... Well, they're all quite special, but at the rate at which it's diverged from its Australian arrival. Do you want to speak to that?
I found this fascinating. And around the world, these species evolve different characteristics and they eventually grow into new species of silver eyes. And it's one of the fastest rates in all vertebrates. So vertebrates, animals with backbones and skeletons, fish, reptiles, frogs, toads, salamanders, birds and mammals.
What the frick is a salamander?
Salamander's like a big... they're interesting. They're like... Well, how do you describe them? They're like a big frog with a long tail and lizardy froggy type thing.
Okay, cool. Something to look at later.
Yeah, have a look at it.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain.
But yeah, the tauhou have been here for only 175 years, but they're already getting larger and more intensely coloured.
Yeah, amazing.
Why is that?
They just... I think they've figured out a way of looking at the environment, embracing what's plentiful and saying, this is our niche.
Yeah, resourceful money.
This is what we can get into.
Yeah.
And then they thrive and they then say,
love that.
And I just want to get a bit more colourful. And there's a lot of big birds in Aotearoa, so I want to get a bit bigger.
Oh my God, I'm so tired. Actually, can't respond. I'm just laughing this morning. That's amazing, Pete. That's amazing.
Yes. And then around the world, they're a symbol of good luck, joy, and affection.
I love that. Yeah, they're a very sweet looking bird, and I can see why they would be a symbol for all of those things. But yeah, how would you describe this bird, Pete? What can people, what do people look out for if they want to see a tauhou?
Yeah, a lot of people know and love this manu. And I saw a blog that described the tauhou as a visitation of angels.
Oh, God, that's
I just really
beautiful.
Like that description. they bring a lot of joy to people, including myself.
Yes.
And like many, I feed the tauhou. Over winter, they don't need it during spring and summer because there's plenty of food.
Yeah.
But I've got my self-designed bird feeders made, of course, with recycled materials.
Awesome. Can you make me one?
I can.
Thank you.
I will. A little project.
Get your orders in, guys. Pete's making bird feeders.
So then you cut an orange in half and you stick that in the feeder and then the tauhou come and dance and play and they fight around the feeder and it's just a joy to watch.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
And they've kind of got a green.
Yeah.
The green, eh?
Yeah, beautiful green. It's like sort of olivey, deep green around the head, the wings, and the tail. They've got a silver throat and belly and top of the wings. But we all kind of know the unmistakable features, the little white feather ring around their eyes.
Yes.
That's very striking and very mesmerising. So when you see them, you know exactly what they are.
Yes, exactly.
There's no confusion.
And they kind of, they look like they've been to Mecca and they've had their eye makeup done.
That's right.
They're trying out a new look.
That's right. And the males are slightly flashier than the females. They need to impress the wahine.
That's the reason, eh?
Absolutely. And the other interesting thing they've got a fine tapered bill, but they've got a brush tipped tongue, like the tui and the koromako, the bellbird. And the brush tipped tongues are like an adaptation for soaking up nectar. So they're like little sponges on their tongues.
Oh, my God.
So when they get in the nectar, it just soaks it up and it maximises their consumption. I think that's very clever.
That is very clever.
Brush-tipped tongue.
Brush-tipped tongue. Maybe we need to get one of those.
Well, I get one of those when I did. No, I won't say that. sorry. My mind went elsewhere. Let's
keep
get
it
back.
In the room, Pete. Keep
get
it in
back
the room.
To the topic.
And so you've mentioned that you get them in your garden in central Auckland, but where else are they visiting and what are they eating?
They live all over. in forests, very common in urban gardens and parks. Omnivores, so they eat fruit, nectar, insects like aphids, caterpillars and spiders. Very social, Manu.
Yeah.
And they often travel in gangs.
Yep.
Dominant birds have this wing flickering behaviour when they sit on a branch. And it's kind of saying, hey, look at me, I'm the boss. and I've got a little pair that always get to my feeder first. And
true.
As one's feeding, the other's on the branch and the wings are flickering and it's saying, bugger off, this is our orange. It's quite cool.
That's quite cool to observe and see that behaviour in real
life. And
then
after a little delay, the Manu gang comes in. It just sweeps into the backyard and often there's like a dozen or 20 of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just come and squabble over the orange feeder, but they also just forage in mass for insects amongst our deck pot plants.
Amazing.
So they're looking for the little aphids and spiders.
Yeah, of course,
and stuff.
All those little buggies.
And so that's an instant happiness shot.
Yeah, God, that is.
Almost better than caffeine.
And that's
almost.
A crazy call from
know,
you because you
know.
Love
almost.
Your coffee.
Yeah.
But yes, they're breeding. Tell us about their breeding, Pendy.
Yeah, another monogamous pairing.
Territorial
when they're breeding.
Yep.
They nest between August.
Would you say that most birds are territorial when they're breeding?
You would probably think so, wouldn't you, actually? Maybe that's almost like a redundant thing to say. But anyway, I'll keep saying it.
Text in if you've got any thoughts
good,
on that.
It sounds good, territorial.
Yeah, yeah.
So nest August to February. They can have 2 to 3 clutches per year. Very productive, Manu.
Yep.
They build nests in trees.
That's huge. 2 to 4 clutches a year.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn.
That's why they're on the increase, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Nest building in trees, mostly above 8 metres in the outer branches.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got delicate little cup nests made of moss, lichen, fine twigs, hair, spike webs and thistle down. So I thought I'd quite like to be a Toho chick.
That sounds just...
be beautiful.
It'd be like sleeping on like 8,000... three like, count Egyptian cotton sheets.
I know, it'd be gorgeous.
Yes. And how many eggs per clutch?
Two to three
clutches an egg of a year and then 2 to 4 eggs per clutch.
Per clutch. So that's quite productive and the eggs are laid every sort of 24 hours. Incubation is shared, but it's very short, like only 10 to 12 days before they hatch. They're born blind and naked. And I feel that way sometimes when I... Anyway. eyes are opened at 4 days.
Okay,
and then
they're
well-feathered by 10 days. And they can fledge...
That's such a change from being
massive
born...
change, real quick. And they fledge at 9 to 11 days, which is super quick.
Wow, so fast.
So quick.
So no wonder their populations are increasing so stable... It's increasing because they can produce so many offspring. We just had a text in, Pete. What's the difference between the silver eye, the Toho, and the wax eye?
Nothing. Wax eyes is just another name for the silver eye.
The ego texter. Yeah.
So it's exactly the same, Manu.
From the birdman himself.
Yeah.
And tell us about some threats, Pete?
Well, unfortunately, they're only partially protected, even though they're native. And while they're blessing in gardens and orchards to keep pest, aphids and insects under control, they can also hammer the fruit. So they can be killed after causing any injury or damage to any land or property.
Makes
them sound like dirt bike riders tearing up the dunes at Port Waikato.
I just think that's stupid because, like, it's like this human-animal imbalance, right? I'm like, humans having, like, control over the environment and, like, actually we fucked up the environment first by putting all these, like...
Yeah, but I can understand orchidists. Yeah, you know, they grow fruit and they can't sell them if there's any little pecks in them. And so, and bird netting doesn't work with these manu. They just
'cause they're so small.
Worm their way through.
Yeah, yeah.
So I kind of get it that, okay, you know, it's the livelihood of these orchidists.
Yeah.
But just don't kill too many of them.
Yeah, please, guys.
Yeah.
If any orchards are listening...
Or if they've got some protection around the trees, why don't they have a few sacrificial ones?
Yeah.
And just
say this
is for the birds.
This is for the birds.
I don't know whether that worked, but it sounds like a...
Just coming in with some fresh theories for the orchard community this morning. And they're also an easy target for cats as well.
Yeah, feed low to the ground.
Yeah.
And rats and stoats get into the nests. But, you know, overall... They seem to be
pretty good.
Okay, and we should celebrate these little joy givers.
Absolutely.
They bring a lot of joy.
They do. So keep an eye out for those in your backyard whānau, the toho, silver eye. A very special bird. Not one of your spirit birds, but a companion bird.
Companion manu. I'm trying to think of these variations.
I think we need to start an Excel spreadsheet, honestly.
Yeah, but that feels right. A companion manu. There's a few others, like the piwakawaka. That's a companion manu.
Okay.
But that's also a spirit bird, so. Anyway, I'm reviewing my list based on our previous conversation. How many is too many?
How many is too... That's okay. I don't think there's a number. Yeah. But, anyway, your song that you've picked for the day, Peter?
Yeah, one of my favourite songs. Mutton Bird's Dominion Road.
Yep.
And I chose this because I feed the toho at my home and I happen to live on a street halfway down Dominion Road.
Yep.
So there you go.
This is Dominion Road by the Mutton Birds. Thanks, Pete.
Up 10,000 feet above the clouds, halfway down. rests his head on the windowsill. He watches the city. He can see the antennas in the hills from the halfway house, halfway down Dominion Road. Halfway down, halfway down, halfway down Dominion Road. Halfway down, halfway down, halfway down Dominion Road.
Isn't that beautiful?
That was Me and All My Homies Love Native Manu, only on 95 BFM.